Business, Industry, and Jobs. Tomasoni's Committee on Environmental Development and Housing Budget Division to order. Let me apologize just a little bit. There's two or three other committees going at the same time, so I think we might as well just get going and the people will be in and out. And we thought get together because mainly because of the tough economic times that we're going through, and people are asking for some action and changes and things that we could be probably doing better. And we can reevaluate our state economic development programs and services today. And today is kind of the start of this kind of a look and see, and maybe there's a way to streamline and improve government services and save some tax dollars. Of course, we've done that, tried to do that times before, but and we expect going forward we're going to bring in the business community and industry groups and discuss some ongoing ideas that they might have. And I don't have labor on this list, but probably bring them in too. We've got Mr. McElroy from the Department of Employment and Economic Development here today, and he's going to help us review and analyze some of the hopefully some positive things that have gone on and where we're going in the future and how we can just, I guess, overall improve the economic condition of our state and get people back to work. And maybe we'll hear of some successes and maybe a roadmap, hopefully, of where you think we're going. So that's the purpose of the meeting. This is the Jobs Committee, and we're just looking, and we're striving to make things work a little better in the state. We're trying to get people back to work, and that's what we're here for. So welcome, Mr. McElroy. We had a merger with DTED and Economic Security in 2003. I don't know if their goals were met or if that helped. And so anyway, thank you for coming, and kind of let you go. And I apologize, but people are all over the building, so they'll come and go. But welcome, Commissioner, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Chairman Tomasoni, members. For the record, my name is Dan McElroy. I'm Commissioner of the Department of Employment and Economic Development. I'm going to work through a deck of PowerPoint slides that looks like this one.
That's the blue.
Have that and then a set of maps that I will talk about after I walk through these slides. But thank you for the opportunity to share some ideas. I was in the legislature at the time the decision was discussed and later made that workforce development and economic development were so closely aligned, some describe them as two sides of the same coin, that it made sense to do that work in a combined department. Now, the decision wasn't made quickly. It was not made without significant input. There was a transition working group that included representatives of organized labor and the business community and a variety of a significant amount of input. But the decision was made in 2001 and implemented in 2003 to combine the former Department of Trade and Economic Development with the former Department of Economic Security to create DEED. The reason it was done, I think, is shown on the first slide, page two, that we thought there were four things we could accomplish. We could facilitate synergies between economic development and workforce development. We could provide more efficient customer service, to some extent mainly to business. It's worked out it was both to business and workers, as we have learned to do this. That we could streamline the delivery of service and eliminate duplication. And that we could support local partners. And as you read the executive summary of the report of the transition team, one of the key points was that although the state can provide leadership and resources, economic development and workforce development and community development are by their nature local and regional efforts, and it has to be a strong state-led, regionally driven set of partnerships, and bringing the agencies together has been helpful in accomplishing that. The merger, as I said, occurred 6 years ago. At the time of the merger, the two predecessor agencies had 1,900 employees. Of those, 80 employees were in tourism. and tourism was split out not too long after that to an entity called Explore Minnesota. And so the net of the two agencies after you take tourism out was about 1,820 people. Currently, we have 1,857 employees, but about 200 of those are temporary funded under stimulus dollars from AARA and under unemployment insurance, what are called overbase dollars. So the base employment of the agency is approximately 1,650 people today.
So after the stimulus money runs out,
we'll be back to about 16.
Down?
That's correct.
Okay.
And continue. Those are people who were hired.
Excuse me. Before that, we're going to just, if you don't mind, we'll let the people while they're thinking of questions, just let them go at that.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Thank
Senator
you.
Bach.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, Commissioner. At the time of the merger, I remember there were some concerns expressed that tourism might get lost. You know, a very small department in a very large agency. Now, and I actually was I guess I'm the one that carried the bill to split tourism off. And I'm wondering how many of those 1,820 people at the time of the merger were indeed. It was relatively small. Was it a couple hundred?
DTED.
The old DTED.
The old DTED, yes, less than 200. 180 approximately, and the DES was the largest department. And my recollection is about 80 people went to tourism.
Well,
Senator Bach,
I bring that up because I've got some concerns that I think the same thing has happened to economic development that we feared would happen to tourism, that tourism folks were very concerned that they would get lost in this as a small player in this larger agency, and it seems like maybe our economic development efforts have been lost in this larger agency, and because if we were only about 10% of the new agency, I'm just a little concerned that that we've lost some of the emphasis on economic development in this much larger agency because we're, from an employment standpoint, we're such a small piece. But then one other question, Mr. Chairman, and Commissioner, we're all looking for ways to save money. Has the department ever explored the idea of putting the workforce centers inside of the Minsky campuses? I'm just wondering why it seems like in communities that have a workforce center and a Minsky campus, there ought to be a way that there are some significant synergies there. And we could then free up some buildings for economic development for those communities. Has that been explored at all?
Mr. Chairman, Senator
Bach, right.
Yes, it has. We have six co-located today. We are working with Senator Lynch, Representative Welty, and others to co-locate the one in Rochester at Rochester Community and Technical College. And we would like to co-locate many more. There is sometimes a challenge in funding the leasehold improvements, but we think there are significant synergies to doing that. There are discussions going on between Minsky and our local workforce boards in two other communities about those kinds of relocations. We agree with you. The real advantage is the synergies for workers. It is Minsky continues to need to charge rent for upkeep and operating and repair and maintenance. It isn't a terribly significant dollar savings, but it is a great service synergy. The six that are currently co-located are in Winona, Austin, St. Cloud, Thief River Falls, Hutchinson, and International Falls. And I visited them all, and there is a great energy that comes from being on a college campus. It's good for the college students, and it's good for workers. And we'll continue, Senator, to look for more opportunities to do that.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that's probably a better use of resources than, accumulating more and more maintenance on more and more state buildings around the state.
Now, yep. Mr. Chairman and Senator Bach, only two workforce centers in the state are in state-owned buildings. Those are in North Minneapolis and South Minneapolis. The others are either in county buildings, where we have agreements through the Local Workforce Investment Board with counties, or they are in a variety of lease space. And in general, they have been chosen by local workforce investment boards to be convenient for their workers. And a couple of interesting partnerships in Mora, for example. We're co-located with the University of Minnesota Extension Service. A number of other communities, we have good partnerships, but we try to hold down lease costs but also respect what the local workforce investment board would like for a location. We're going through that now in Duluth and having a discussion as to where the local workforce investment board and their partners would like to locate, because St. Louis County wants the space back in the county service building downtown.
A very active one in Dakota County in West St. Paul.
Very active.
Where I'm
And the one in West St. Paul is in a county building. Yep. The other is in rented space, the one in the Burnsville Savage area.
Burnsville, yeah, okay.
All right.
Very busy places. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner, would you also agree that not only lowering the cost of delivering in the workforce centers, but also wouldn't it bridge the communication gap and develop some collaboration and some relationships with the technical colleges or the Minsku system so they can respond, the curriculum can respond immediately to what is being required out there?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Senator Rosen, that's certainly likely. Although we, even in communities where they're not co-located, the communication appears to be quite good. Sometimes by developing programs in the non-credit side faster than we can develop credit programs, but we've most of the workforce investment boards are complementary of their relationship with their local Minsku institution.
Okay.
Senator, if I can go back to page 3. That savings in headcount came...
Before that, Senator Tomasoni.
Commissioner, thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, you mentioned working with Senator Lynch, and it seems to me that that bill was on my committee's agenda the other day, and it got pulled off the agenda for lack of agreement or something. I don't exactly know. So is there something we can do here to make this work better? Or?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Tomasoni, we think that was not a lack of agreement, but perhaps a lack of communication. We had been told that it was pulled, so the person coming from Rochester from our team to speak on its behalf didn't come. And we have been working. Randy Johnson runs Workforce Development, Inc. Don Sapala is president of Rochester Community and Technical College. We've been working closely together. We will also try to work with Senator Lynch. One challenge is that it's dually funded, partially in a Minsku bond allocation and partially in a user financing idea where the rent we currently pay on the workforce center would pay debt service on a user financing basis. We've just, I think, figured out how to make that work. The Minsku portion of it was, I think, number 33 on their list of 34 priorities, and it was not included in the governor's budget. I can't tell how that will work out in your deliberations or the House deliberations. In terms of the user financing portion, we believe we've figured out how to do that.
So is Deed cooperating then to make this happen?
Yes, Senator, we are.
Okay.
All right. The that reduction in headcount was achieved principally because of doing things like combining information technology. We have one human resource department now, one fiscal department, one library where we had three. And achieving efficiencies, particularly in the unemployment insurance area where we have new systems and a new computer approach. We also merged three previous headquarters facilities into one very good lease in the old First National Bank building downtown. And the savings in rent and direct administrative costs, about $400,000 a year. We've also done some things to weave together the culture of the two agencies. In addressing Senator Bach's concerns, we now have teams consisting of regional administrators, business service representatives, and business development representatives that work together so that economic development and workforce development happen a lot together. Now, I'm not saying we can't find ways to do that even better, but I'll talk about some results as we get a little further into the presentation. The next page explains the budget, and the budget is, we're going back to 2002-2003 biennium, gets a relatively small amount of general fund dollars. The numbers vary depending on appropriations for special projects. We've had appropriations in this budget for the 21st Century Mineral Fund or for specific economic development projects or some pass-through grants. And taking the 10-11 biennium as an example, we expect to have about $4.8 billion in resources for the biennium, of which about $3.2 billion come from unemployment insurance resources, a mixture of state and federal trust fund, $1.6 billion from federal funds, workforce investment funds, and the Public Facilities Authority, and about $81 million from the general fund. The next page has a pie chart that might make it clearer.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bonif.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, how does the UI's trust fund situation affect the deed budget, given that we're going to be in the red in the trust fund?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bonoff, it does not affect our ability to pay benefits or the any other aspect of the fund. The system, in a sense, is designed that states are likely to borrow from the federal trust fund during recessions and pay back during recoveries. We currently owe the federal government a little over $300 million. It's about 0.35% of annual wages. We have other states that owe dramatically more than we do. We think that we're going to get back to about the level of borrowing that we had in 82, 83. We'll take a few years to pay it off, but it there's no danger to workers. The system is designed so we can pay benefits.
Okay. All right.
The pie chart on page 5 may be helpful to members. It shows the funding source in and this is the 10-11 biennium. If you exclude unemployment insurance and the PFA, the balance of the budget is $782 million for the biennium. And that comes from a mixture of the Workforce Investment Fund, federal program dollars, including dollars in programs like Small Cities Development Grants, which comes from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, Workforce Investment Act, Veterans Services, Vocational Rehabilitation and State Services for the Blind, which come from the U.S. Department of Education, and other funds. But those are what the budget looks like. The question is, what do we use those resources to accomplish? And we use them to accomplish the 7 goals shown on page 6 of this handout. And these goals indicate how we, I hope, have woven together the missions of economic security and economic development. The goals of the department are to help create and retain jobs, and we're working constantly with our partners, cities and counties, regional economic development authorities, initiative foundations, nonprofits, educational institutions, and others. We also work to cultivate entrepreneurs and small businesses, and I will go through the details of how we do that in a few slides. We work with communities all over the state to enhance community vitality through a variety of programs. We work to strengthen the workforce in a variety of programs and with a variety of resources. You'd be pleased to know we have announced in the last few weeks that we've won federal grants with many partners, including the Blue-Green Alliance that has been great to work with, 2 regional innovation teams, one in northeastern Minnesota and one in southeastern Minnesota. And most recently, yesterday, we were informed of a $6 million grant to the Governor's Workforce Development Council for job training that enhances our ability to help workers have 21st century skills. We also address economic change, and some of it comes in those workforce development areas. Some of it comes in new economic development opportunities like mining and minerals in northeastern and north central Minnesota. We're also engaged in helping foster personal independence through programs for vocational rehabilitation and state services for the blind. And we have a fairly significant information role. The Labor Market Information Office and the Office of Economic Analysis provide information that's needed by cities and counties and educational institutions and employers to make decisions about the economy and the workforce in the future. The next slide talks about our specific economic development strategies. I did not do similar slides, very honestly, for unemployment or workforce because I know the emphasis of this committee is on jobs. We can certainly provide those more detailed strategies. But interestingly, the strategies shown on page 7 are very similar to the strategies that were recommended for Minnesota by the Institute for Growth and Justice, and many of you know Dane Smith, in a report they did on economic development last year. We have a 5-part strategy. It is a strategy that we work tightly with our partners, some of whom are in the audience today. One is to retain and expand existing Minnesota businesses. As we look at where the jobs are, they are often from companies that started small and chose to grow in Minnesota because they were attracted to our strong workforce and our strong educational system. And our number one priority is keeping Minnesota companies in Minnesota and helping them grow here. We also support the creation of new enterprises through our workforce through our small business development centers, through programs in the workforce centers like GATE, Growing America Through Entrepreneurship, and through education and programs. We work both with the University of Minnesota and Minsky. We do work to attract new business from other states and countries. I'm going to talk about some economic development successes in a few minutes, and a number of them have come from both foreign direct investment and from the marketing we do outside of Minnesota. We help communities enhance development opportunities and attract business investment with projects like small cities development grants, rural Minnesota business infrastructure grants, and biobusiness infrastructure grants. And we consider our partnerships with communities to be one of our strongest and most important assets. We also pursue strategies that lever partnerships in regional economies. Some of you, in fact, I think almost all of you, represent areas where we have strong partnerships underway. I'll talk more about that in a few slides.
Senator Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an area that I think is so important, Commissioner, as you know, and I appreciate being able to work with you on our North Star Rising. You've been great in bringing that group together. The report came out on the 15th on time. Thank you very much. One of the things I'm looking at is a bill from Wisconsin, and I believe in copy and steal everything that works. They have a bill that is creating an emergency response team that would address when they become aware of a business is relocating to a different state or someone is in-state looking, that they have a very specific strategy to create this emergency response team to be able to work with the business, find out what they need to do. Senator Rose and I were just at an event with Precision Manufacturers on their panel, and one of the things that we keep hearing about is that we need to have a bigger welcome mat that when businesses come here, and we talked to them and said outside of taxes, which is an issue we can, you know, certainly need to address, but what are we really doing to make sure that when businesses are looking here or when we hear a business is potentially leaving, what do we do to say, what do we need to do to keep you here? And sometimes we hear about those things too late, but we also hear that many businesses are being courted by other states, and then sometimes the response they get, and again, if we don't know that they're leaving, then it's difficult to respond, but it's sort of like, well, it's a small business. Did we really meet with them? Did we try to put together a plan to at least make them feel that every job, we want to keep every single job we can in Minnesota? So if you could address that just a little bit briefly, that would be helpful.
Commissioner McElroy.
Mr. Chair, Senator Saltzman, we get opportunities to help local partners with those kinds of things fairly often. And our approach, rather than having a single statewide emergency team, is to convene the local partners, often a city economic developer, an initiative foundation person, somebody from the regional development corporation, and try to craft a package that is helpful. Sometimes the challenge is that my counterpart in Wisconsin has a very discretionary fund of dollars that come from their revenue sharing agreement from Indian Gaming that they can use for grants and a variety of things in this welcoming kit. We have to be a little more creative than that. And sometimes we can use dollars from Federal Minnesota Investment Fund or from a variety of other programs, but we do not try to do it with a kind of shipped from St. Paul approach. We're involved in one right now in southeastern Minnesota where we brought together a port authority, a county economic development person, a couple of city economic development people, the local technical college, the McKnight Initiative Foundation, our people, federal rural development, a couple of other partners. And I think we'll be successful, but we do it on a case-by-case basis and crafting a team that fits the individual company. That's easier with a larger company that may be looking at an opportunity. We lost one that you're familiar with that was two entrepreneurs that lived in Woodbury, and they did talk to one of our people. She probably didn't have all the right information. We work every day to try and strengthen those connections. I'd love to see what Wisconsin is doing. I think part of it is perhaps having another wrench in our economic development toolkit that my counterpart gets some flexible dollars that we don't currently have.
Thank you.
The next few slides are about...
Senator Rosen.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. And to add on to that discussion, I think your staff that's out in the field that's dealing with these companies, whether they want to expand and grow and or stay, they're outstanding. I mean, that's the key. That holds it together. The disconnect comes in several areas that I see, and that is the relationships or the process of them, and we've talked about this, and you're familiar with this, of the other departments and agencies working together in a timely, fashionable manner that isn't so arduous for this employer. And Iowa has done a stupendous job in that area. And at that meeting this morning, I mean, they have a website where they can go. It's very simple. You know, it's not splintered. It's not links to all over this place. It's a one-stop shop. We've always talked about that. And Iowa has done that. Of course, for me, in my area, that's the competition. It doesn't matter if it's Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, or globally. It's we have to be competitive in that area. So that's one question, if you'd like to reply.
Well, the issue, Mr. Chairman, Senator Rosen, is often when it comes to an environmental review and when it's necessary to do environmental permitting or go through an environmental assessment worksheet or environmental impact statement. And there is no question that our system is a little more cumbersome than some of our neighbors. We do work closely with PCA and DNR trying to make that more seamless. We may not be as seamless as Iowa. We have been working to try and make more seamless the idea of corporate registration, unemployment insurance tax number, revenue number, some of those things. And I'd be happy, we will look at the Iowa example. The place where I have the greatest challenge at times is that our environmental review process is slower than the states around us. That has not been an easy thing to change.
Mr. Chair,
Senator
Commissioner, the point is there is a point guard for these people to go to without making it so difficult to do business. Whether you're dealing with the PCA, DNR, Ag, or Deed, there has to be a point guard and somebody that's going to hold their hand and massage them through this whole thing. And that's the important part. My other statement is on your strategies or goals, I'm hoping that you can expand that into the technical training for a lot of these businesses and developing those relationships so there is a seamless flow of when the market is driving the what needs to be in the educational community needs part of that and relaying that message even all the way down to the high school level. We need to get to these kids at a much earlier age, giving them opportunities, letting them know where the businesses are, what the opportunities are, and frankly, to be selfish, so they will stay in their community or in the area and not have to fly off to the Twin Cities.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Rosen, we are quite engaged at the community and technical college level. We are not as engaged in the high school level, although some of our workforce investment boards are quite engaged mm-hmm. and have representatives from school systems or school superintendents, and we work to do that. I am a member of one of Commissioner Segrin's, it's called the Governor's Workforce and Education Council, and we try to get that to message out. It's not an easy one to get out. And sometimes the lure is not just economic development, it is more cultural. I sometimes joke that the problem is that Green Acres and Northern Exposure aren't on television anymore, but Sex and the Cities is. And so there is a perception that it's cool to move to the cities when we'd like to change the idea that it's cool to live wherever you choose to live, and there are advantages to living in rural Minnesota. And so we work hard at fostering those. In terms of a point guard, we do expect our Deed regional business developers to serve as the point guard where they can, and we try to support them in that role. I'll be happy to work with you in seeing if there's an idea we can borrow from our friends in Iowa if they have more effective point guards.
Well, it's just Iowa. So, Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman,
it seems like we went pretty breezed by a little bit on Senator Salzman's question about putting out the fires of the first line of defense or whatever you might call it. And I don't know I haven't studied your budget that much, but it seems to me that should be a priority with your company or your commissioner's position to get out there and say, hey, what's the matter? What's going wrong here? And she asked a good question, but I think we should your department should look into that a little more thoroughly and get out and say to those people, hey, there's problems here. What can we do as a state? We don't want you to leave. I know that's a simple statement, but it's so true. And I think she's onto something here. So I think you've got to get out and court those people and say, hey, maybe you're doing more of it today.
I think we are, and I'm going to get to that in a couple of slides. And we also have a great partnership with, I believe it's now 60 chambers of commerce that have Grow Minnesota programs, and we've tied our efforts with about 45 people in the field and their efforts together in a single computer database, and I'll tell you about that in just a minute. We did organize these results by program, and I'd like to walk through a couple of them before we get back to that issue, which we'll get back to in just a couple of minutes, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Page 8 covers results in unemployment insurance, and they are important. Obviously, we have had unemployment levels higher than they've been historically in Minnesota. We peaked in June at 8.4%. We announced today that the rate for December remained at 7.4%, the same as November. But an unprecedented number of people collected unemployment insurance in Minnesota last year, 350,000 people collected $2.8 million in benefits. $2.8 billion in benefits. We're one of a handful of states that met the federal timelines, federal timeliness for both first payment and continuing payment. And because of the investment that you helped us make in a new unemployment insurance system that came up in 2007, we've been able to provide a high level of service even during these very high workload times. We've also had about 35 fairly new people in our workforce centers called reemployment assistance staff. And they helped 23,000 people this year with one-on-one interviews and job search plans to help people that appeared to have a risk of running out of benefits. We also, the federal Congress particularly, made a lot of changes in unemployment this year. We were able to implement 10 fairly major program changes, generally with less than 2 weeks' notice. On page 9 is outputs from community assistance programs. In the period mid-2007 through 2009, so the fiscal year and a half, we made $904 million investments in Minnesota communities between the PFA, the Small Cities Program, Contaminated Sites Cleanup, Brownfields Cleanup, and the Redevelopment Account, and helped literally hundreds of communities, and those have excellent investments on job creation and tax base creation. You asked about, are we out calling on business? We have 38 business specialists that called on 2,900 businesses during 2009. They put their data into a system called Salesforce.com, which is an online software system. We share that with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce's Grow Minnesota program and use it to spot cases where there may be companies that are saying, I've got a problem, I may leave. We also rely on local economic development leaders from communities around Minnesota through organizations like EDAM, the Economic Development Association of Minnesota, and MAPSED, the Minnesota Association of Professional County Economic Developers, to find those cases where we have businesses at risk. Those 38 business service specialists were a new development since the merger, and it carved out resources that combined programs in our workforce centers and in local economic development to tie together business. It's, I think, one of the success stories. Also in 2009, a program that is part of DEED, has been part of DEED for a long time, we don't talk about it a lot. It's called Disability Determination. And under contract with the U.S. Social Security Administration, we have a team that is the first source of review when Minnesota residents file for disability determination. Those programs in calendar 8 were about $2 billion, and our disability determination unit wins national awards for timeliness and accuracy, and we're proud of them. Also in fiscal year 2009, our Vocational Rehabilitation and State Service for the Blind units worked with 224 Social Security disability recipients to help them get back to work, and we're excited about that. They call those victories, and they're exciting times. We also, about 144,000 people in Minnesota collected disability insurance, and all of their applications had been reviewed in that unit in order to get them on the program. Page 11, we talk about removing barriers to employment for those who may have, who may need the services of vocational rehabilitation or state services for the blind. Voc Rehab worked with 22,500 people last year, including 2,400 people who were successfully able to obtain employment, get back to work, and in most cases continue working. State Services for the Blind served 4,300 individuals last year with a wide variety of services from the Communication Center, radio talking book, braille services to schools and individuals, recorded book, textbooks for a wide variety of people, and other assistive aids. State Services for the Blind is just a premier effort, one we're very proud of. Page 12 describes the outcomes in the workforce centers. We have 49 workforce centers across the state that help both workers and businesses. We work hard to have workforce investment boards that are business-led. We thank our workforce partners for that. Those centers were served 128,000, what we call unduplicated headcount, 128,000 different people visited our workforce centers last year, a total of 925,000 visits. 37,000 of them attended classes and workshops. And some of these are really good classes. I invite you, and we'd be happy to make some of the material available. Some of the material is on our website on a program called Creative Job Search. We also, some of the workforce centers run a program called Workforce University. Others are doing resume writing, interview skills, networking skills, teaching people how to use programs like LinkedIn. The workforce centers do a lot of basic education, and it's exciting. We also had 22,000 Minnesota job seekers begin classroom training where the tuition was paid through one of the programs we administer. Dislocated Workers is the largest of those, but Voc Rehab is also significant. The Workforce Investment Act and some other workforce programs paid tuition, as I said, for 22,000 people. Senator Rosen asked about technical job training. We have a longtime program called the Job Skills Partnership, just had its 25th anniversary. During the last year and a half, roughly, did 39 partnerships between Minsky institutions and employers that helped 11,500 workers get additional jobs and skills training. In many cases, we use Job Skills Partnership as one of the tools in our toolbox to keep companies in Minnesota or to attract companies to Minnesota. We had 7,200 employers list job openings on MinnesotaWorks.net. If you haven't looked at the state's job bank, it has won some awards. It was new in July of 2007. And interestingly, one of the signs that I'm seeing that things are getting a little better, in July, August, and September, we had about 8,000 job openings posted most of the time on MinnesotaWorks.net. This morning, we had 20,900 jobs posted on MinnesotaWorks.net from a wide variety of employers. It's free to workers and free to employers, and I'd encourage you to take a look at it. We had 218,000 job seekers use the site, and 62,000 of them posted their resumes to the site. On the economic development side of the of our work, 2009 was a difficult year because financing was difficult to secure in many cases. Our deal flow of projects we were assisting communities on was a little smaller, but there were about 200 business expansions either announced or completed in the state during the year. We were heavily involved and provided assistance or subsidies for 66 of those that represented 5,400 new jobs and $2.35 billion in new investments. They occupied a total of 3.4 million square feet of either renovated space or newly constructed space. I'll provide some examples of some of those in a minute. As I indicated, about 200 companies announced or completed expansions, and we were involved in about 75% of those. Sometimes our help isn't needed, and our partners can make progress without us, but often there are opportunities where we can be helpful. We generated through marketing programs, through trade shows we attended, through contacts, about 350 qualified expansion leads that we work with, mainly city economic developers on, in some cases county economic developers or regional economic developers. Those outcomes are examples of the work we do to keep business here and help business grow, attract business. Perhaps as important is the work we do to help inventors, entrepreneurs, people with ideas start businesses or take little bitty businesses and help them get bigger. And the program that I'm excited about lots of programs, but the Small Business Development Centers helped 3,500 entrepreneurs and small businesses in the last year We have 9 small business development centers across the state, with a number of them have sublocations. For example, in Senator Bach's location, the mothership is at the University of Minnesota Duluth, but they have people who work in Hibbing and Virginia and International Falls to assist entrepreneurs and inventors with their ideas. We set a record. Some of you may have seen the announcement from Secretary of State Ritchie that more businesses were formed in Minnesota last year than ever before in history. Almost 61,000 new entities from proprietorships, partnerships, and corporations. A fair number of them got to help from various programs. We answered questions from 46,000 businesses in our Small Business Assistance Office, which is an 800 number, a website, and some publications like How to Start and Run a Business in Minnesota. We also have a program called our Office in Science and Technology that helps Minnesota companies compete for SBIR, Small Business Innovative Research, and STTR, Science and Technology Transfer Research. And in 2008-2009, Minnesota companies got 75 grants totaling $54 million in some very exciting areas. And we can provide a list of those if that's of interest to you. We worked with local partners, and we have, some of you see the pin that I wear and many of our people wear that says Positively Minnesota. Positively Minnesota is a partnership with, I think now, about 60 local partners, mainly city and regional economic developers, some utility partners. With them, we do about 50 marketing events. The largest ones are the annual bioscience show, wind power show, a number of corporate real estate shows, the annual life science show here in the Twin Cities, and from those generate leads, some of which have been very successful over the years. We've also established something new. A movement across the country is for states to be able to certify industrial park or other sites as what's called shovel-ready, verifying that they have any contaminated soils have been corrected, that utilities are in place, that broadband infrastructure is in place, and that they're zoned correctly. We established a certified shovel-ready program in 2009 and have the first 3 communities that have the certified shovel-ready sites.
Senator Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question, Commissioner, on the marketing, because I know you were on the panel with me last week at the MinNano event at the University of Minnesota, and one of the things that we heard from the audience, I think they were questions, was, again, going back to sort of marketing and welcoming businesses, is I like the Positively Minnesota. It's upbeat. But what some of the folks in the audience says is if you look at where we have – Where's our greatest strength right now is we're still a knowledge economy. Innovation, entrepreneurship is really critical to our future success. And, you know, why aren't we doing more to become the innovation capital of the world, the most welcoming state to entrepreneurs, something along that line? And is that something that you might be able to look at or, you know, as we look at sort of when people think of Minnesota, what are we doing? And again, that's the whole environment, which we all have to work on together. It's not one department's job, but I think that's where the science and technology working group report is very promising, is how do we really, I think that Joyce Lindsay called it to get our mojo back or something like that, to really go into overdrive, to really make sure that we're doing everything we can it's the environment. It's not just all the tools. It's sometimes it's the soapbox that we use.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Saltzman, interestingly enough, at the bioconference in Atlanta in 2009, Minnesota was ranked as one of the 5 best marketers among the states at that conference. We are out a lot. As you know, part of our success has been the success of clusters around things like medical devices, biomaterials, the Cargill-Dow partnership, emerging energy. We don't take for granted those kinds of successes, and we do have a major presence at bio and at wind energy and at Life Science Alley. We will look to have other opportunities. We've also proposed, and with your help, to put some additional tools in the toolkit in the form of an angel tax credit and a small business tax credit, which we hope we'll find a way to bring across the finish line this year. I don't entirely agree with Joy Lindsay that we have lost our mojo. We continue to have some fairly strong successes. You may have seen that MarketWatch.com rated the Twin Cities in 2007 and 2008 as the number one metropolitan area in the country in which to do business. In 2009, they opened it to smaller cities, and we slipped to fourth. We were still the largest among communities of a million or more. We do well in some of those national rankings. We certainly intend to continue to do more marketing. We did 50 marketing events last year, some with partners, some alone. We will continue to look for opportunities to do more. The shovel-ready certification, we think, is a relatively small thing, but among location consultants, it's a big thing, and we're well-received for having done that. We hosted in October or November last year the International Association of Corporate Real Estate, Corporate Industrial Real Estate Specialists, and they were blown away by what the Twin Cities and Greater Minnesota had to offer, so we were excited about that. We also work hard on green energy, and the legislature has directed us to work with the Department of Commerce, IRR, and others on a green energy assistance team. And it gets to one of the issues that Senator Rosen raised. We now have a forest products subcabinet that works on forestry issues and includes our agency. I co-chair it with the DNR, but it includes Ag, the PCA, and the DNR, and IRR, about looking at economic development opportunities across agency lines. And we have a mining subcabinet, including the same players, with the exception of the Department of Agriculture, that works to coordinate and seize opportunities in the mining area. Green fits into both of those. The next page, number 17, talks about the activity of the trade office. Exports have been really good to Minnesota. In 2008, Minnesota had $17.5 billion of manufactured exports, and our exports have been growing faster than the nation's.
Excuse me, before you go further, was that a big endorsement earlier of the Capco and the Angels by you and your boss?
Yes, Senator. Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Good. Go on.
Thank you. Page 17. And excuse Mr. Chairman, that's not new. We have been supportive of those, and we thank Senator Saltzman and others for their efforts, and we will continue to be supportive.
Good. Senator Saltzman.
There. And on that point, I do want to be clear that the Senate and the administration has been very supportive of this, and we just have to educate certain people in the House a bit more, Mr. Chair, and that is happening.
It's not just your stuff. We've got a couple other issues that and even Gerlach supported a big major jobs bill last year, and minority leader. And
all about jobs.
And we've got to get across the street and do a better job, but that's going to happen. Some of that stuff's going to happen.
Well, Representative Mahoney, Representative Rukavina, and others, I think, get that, and they're working hard, and we appreciate their help.
Yeah, they've seen the light, I think, yeah.
Yeah, those two representatives have seen it for a long time. It has been, in all fairness, my friend, Representative Lancheski, sees a different way of doing it. I understand her concern. Our competitors do it through tax credits, and there are some benefits to doing it through tax credits. I'm not aware of a state that has been very successful with the grant approach that she likes. I don't want to be in the position of having to pick.
Yeah, plus we don't have any money now, so there's only one approach left.
We will.
Or not one approach, but.
We think tax credits make sense for lots of reasons, including the fact that our competitors have made them work well. If I can
it's
go on just.
Pretty important if our competitors are making it work. Okay, go ahead.
All right. The trade office. Trade office is 14 people. We do a number of things. We do a lot of education. And some of you who may have been at Life Science Alley, a wonderful company from Wilmer, a company called Novatech, said that we learned to export by going to a trade office workshop 10 years ago, and it's today 40% of our business. We have about 700 companies come to trade office training events every year, and we think it plays a fairly major part of Minnesota being such successful exporters. We organized four trade missions in the last several years. The governor tends to go on a major trade mission every year or two, and then we run some trade missions where the governor does not go. The lieutenant governor goes, or one of our staff leads the mission. We conducted about 110 site visits to 85 companies and responded to 1,300 company requests for assistance. Things as simple as how to do NAFTA certification and as complicated as how to do market research in the Middle East, and it's exciting work. We also hosted 75 visiting international delegations during 2009. Page 18 talks about the regional initiatives that we've been involved with. I'm sorry that Senator Bach and Senator Rosen had to step out, but this is one of the examples of where combining workforce investment and economic development have been such a powerful tool. First is an idea that came from a series of listening sessions we did in the summer of 2007, and a county commissioner in Pennington County in Thief River Falls or Crookston, I think it was in Crookston, stood up and said, you know, we've got workforce board, economic development, and workforce development, community colleges. We've all got strategies, but we don't get them together. And so we created an idea, in part based on some academic research done by Michael Porter at Harvard called the Microeconomics of Competitiveness, and funded a series of grants called Framework for Integrating Regional Strategies. And we have 13 of those working groups, and I'll show you a map of those in a minute, that have brought together partners that have related interests but haven't always had incentives to work together. In every one of them, we have a community college. Many of them have high school or adult basic education partners, traditional economic development, traditional workforce development, housing, in some cases, CAP agencies in some cases, and we're excited about those partnerships. We also have been quite successful in earning federal grants. The Minnesota Renewable Energy Marketplace is a 34-county partnership across southern and western Minnesota. They had gotten a $5 million wired grant, Workforce Investment for Regional Economic Development grant. They are a partner in the Blue-Green Alliance's energy training grant that was just announced for $5 million a few days ago. And it brings together workforce development and economic development and community development in southern and western Minnesota. Some of you may have followed the two initiative foundations and RUPRI, the Rural Policy Research Institute from the University of Missouri, did some of the work in this area. And Mark Drabenstadt is an economist who led that effort. And he said in the economic development competitiveness and the economic development Olympics of the 21st century, the athletes will have to be regions. States are too diverse, they're too large, they don't have common economies. Cities are too small, companies are too small. It's going to be regions like southern Minnesota or western Minnesota or northeastern Minnesota that will be the successful competitors, and programs like the Renewable Energy Marketplace are part of that strategy. We've also been successful in winning two regional innovation grants, one in southeastern Minnesota that combines the southeastern Minnesota workforce investment area with workforce investment areas in northeastern Iowa and southwestern Wisconsin. We were awarded a $2.2 million grant in the energy development, and it merges economic development and workforce and workforce and economic development across that area. We also won a similar grant in Senator Tomasoni's area that combines the Range Readiness Initiative with a northwestern Wisconsin effort principally aimed at alternative energy and forest products. And that group also has been successful in winning federal grants. We've been very successful with a program called Minnesota Fast Track, which brings together the suggestion that we had earlier that Senator Rosen had. What are we doing to combine high school, adult basic education, college, and the workforce? And Fast Track has won two Joyce Foundation grants, a U.S. Department of Labor grant. We got some stimulus money for it. And it is doing a great job of connecting education, alternative high schools, adult basic education, community and technical colleges to the workforce. We're also involved heavily with the Metro Regional Conference of Mayors in a Metropolitan Regional Competitive Project that involves the Itasca Project and the Humphrey Institute. The metro area has never been terribly cohesive in economic development. Minneapolis and St. Paul have their own kind of efforts. The suburbs have, to some extent, fended for themselves. We are working to bring this partnership together where the metropolitan region can think more regionally, and it's getting off to a good start. On the map that we'll get to in just a minute, it also shows 13 industry cluster training projects and studies that we have been involved with. Page 19 talks about our role as an information provider and a research organization. We recently received a $1.16 million grant from the U.S. Department of Labor to study green jobs in the Minnesota economy, how we track them, what information can help us be successful green job competitors. We've put two new web-based tools on our website at positivelyminnesota.com. One is occupations in demand, and we survey employers to ask the question, what occupations, what jobs do you think you're going to need to fill over the next 2 to 5 years? And that's updated twice a year. been very helpful to high school counselors, to vocational and technical school planners, planning what capacity they need. And then we recently put up a tool called JobStat, and it basically says if I had these skills in my old job, what other jobs are likely to use those skills and might be helpful to me in looking for my next career. And that tool, relatively new, has gotten a fair amount of national attention. We're doing more with the mapping so that you can see pictures of our work, and I'll show you some of those in just a minute. If you have not looked at the website iseek.org, I hope you'll do that. It ties together workforce development, economic development, and community development information, and it's a partnership between our agency, the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, the University of Minnesota, and the Minnesota Department of Education. And it has a number of great tools on it. They're also, in many cases, regionalized to address Senator Rosen's concern about economic development information in South Central or Southwestern Minnesota. iSeek has regional market data as to careers in demand and training that will help people meet those careers. And it has it for the metro area and for eight regions around the state. I would invite you to look at our new website, positivelyminnesota.com. We have tried to make it easier to use, faster to find things, more user-friendly. We had had 40,000 pages of stuff that it took a long time to find anything on. The new website is much better organized. I mentioned that we work with Minnesota Chamber and all of the entities within DEED to combine the information that we learn about the businesses we call on Salesforce.com. We also have combined, prior to the merger, there was a separate workforce development conference and an economic development conference, different places at different times. We now have one prosperity conference that brings together economic development, adult basic education, community and technical colleges, and traditional economic development, and we get a great turnout. We had more than 400 people at our conference last October, and so even in a tough economy, we have people coming together to find ways to work on prosperity. That concludes the text, but I would like to take just a minute to walk you through the maps that we provided. The maps are numbered 1 through 5.
Excuse me, Senator Gerlach.
Excuse me, Commissioner Mashaw. I know you're going to get to the maps, but I wanted to get a question in, and I do need to depart. I'm supposed to be given on a panel at the University of Minnesota in 25 minutes. So
okay, I've got sure. It fine, that, Senator Gerlach.
I could ask you a question quick. My question was going to be about page 15 on the small business development centers. But before I ask my question, I do want to say one thing, Commissioner. In lauding your knowledge of this stuff, I will just say that it's amazing. Normally when we have commissioners come or departments, they usually give a nice brief introduction, and then they turn it over to their minions to cover the specific departments. And stuff.
That's
good folks.
Kind of a
great
bit
folks.
Wonderful folks. But Commissioner McRae, you yourself have gone through in great detail every single nook and cranny of your department, and it's just amazing to watch that. And I think that's to credit to your hands-on involvement with the whole operation and everything that your department is doing. So
Senator Gerlach, we're getting out the dictionary on.
My question is this. On page 15 about the small business development centers, I see the numbers here, and I see that it's a snapshot, but I'm wondering about the trend and about the use of the small business development centers and the assistance office. And the reason I'm asking is my personal business, I do some database work, or not me personally, but my company does some database work with the publishers of the New Business Minnesota, and they use as a data source the business registrations through the Secretary of State's office. And I had a conversation with the publisher. I said, well, how is this going in this economy? And he said the numbers are actually up. Because it's counterintuitive, you'd think, why would people be starting a business? But because of the layoffs and such, it's a time for a lot of people to transition into doing what they wanted to do and starting their own business. And he said that the numbers are actually increasing. So is the trend also being reflected, what I'm hearing outside in the private sector, is that what you're seeing as far as the use of the small business development centers?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gerlach, yes, the numbers are up. The numbers are also up in our Small Business Assistance Office, which is basically people who answer questions, how do I start a company, how do I get a taxpayer ID number, how do I do these various things. And calls to the help number and hits to our website are up quite significantly. And we've been watching the same trends as the Secretary of State's office. and the numbers are up in almost every category. Small proprietorships, the biggest increases in limited liability companies. There were 31,000 of those created in 2009. We think that's a great opportunity for the future, and our trend is up.
Okay. Well, that's positive because we know small business is the engine for the recovery.
Okay,
people are trying.
A follower of a person in power, a minor official. See you guys.
Would you look up minions?
Minions.
I meant that in a positive sense.
Well, look it up. Actually, let's go to number two here. A favored or highly regarded person. So I skipped over the good stuff.
Well, Mr. Chairman and members, I want to make clear that although I sometimes get to be the spokesperson for the agency, I'm blessed to lead a team of about 1,850 people who give a damn about the work we do, and I'm very proud of them. I think that putting them together the way we have has been effective. There certainly may be opportunities to find even better ways to do it. I don't agree with Senator Bach's concern that any one of our mission elements of our mission has gotten lost in the bigger agencies. I think it's been helpful to have it work the way it does. But briefly, we provided five maps. One that shows
to that point, Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner. And to Senator Bach's point and to your comment just now, as I was looking at the outcomes, the first four or five pages are economic security, from what I can tell. And then when we get into the jobs part, it's hard to tell exactly if we're creating jobs or what we're doing or if we're just having a real lot of meetings. And so when we say we provided intensive assistance to 66 businesses representing 5,400 new jobs, what does that exactly mean? Did your assistance create the new jobs? Would the businesses have created the new jobs without your assistance? Or when it says assisting in the creation and retention of 7,000 jobs, I always wondered what retention means, because in many instances, and we do this at the IRRRB all the time, somebody walks in and asks for a loan, and the claim is they'll retain 10 jobs and create 5 more. I always wonder if without the loan would they retain 10 jobs anyway. So my point is 7,000 a real number? Is 5,400 a real number? What are the jobs that are actually being created? And let me get one last little item that is here on page 13 that says there's 240,000 job openings on the website and 218,000 job seekers. Intuitively, it would seem like we would have openings and no job seekers, but obviously they aren't all qualified to do the jobs that are open. But after 61,000 resumes are posted, did we get anybody placed? I'm just wondering what the actual results are.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, let me take those from the last one first. We know that the vast majority of those job orders get filled. We don't always know how they get filled. Companies aren't limited if they post a job at MinnesotaWorks.net to not also telling their employees about it or running their own networks. We do hear from our workforce centers anecdotally a rather substantial number of people who say, I got my job because someone looked at my resume on Minnesota Works, or I followed up on a job posting on Minnesota Works. I think one of the reasons I'm convinced it works is the number of employers who continue to post openings on it over the couple of years we've had the system. The business service specialists have a lot of satisfied customers, so I'm convinced that MinnesotaWorks.net is working. It isn't the only system that people use, and it isn't the only way people find jobs. Getting back to let me start with the 5,400. The 66 expansion projects are expansion projects that participated in one of our programs, Job Opportunity Building Zone. They may have gotten a Minnesota Investment Fund loan. Several of them got loans from the Ag and Economic Development Loan Board. They may have been a Job Skills Partnership prospect. And we take from the application for that program the number of jobs that they commit to create. Many of them have to report back to us on the business subsidy agreement year after year, and we're able to track that they meet those commitments. The 7,000 number comes from the Small Business Development Center work, where a lot of their work is assisting companies in getting bank loans through SBA, Small Business Administration programs. And that's the number that goes on to SBA applications. And we I wouldn't say that everybody who fails to get a loan goes out of business, but we think it's more likely that they stay in business if they're able to get funding. And I do have to say, Senator, that we want to be very complimentary of the Small Business Administration's response to this these difficult times. Their new programs like American Recovery Capital and the changes they've made in the 504 and 7A programs have really helped our small business development centers help a lot of businesses get financing. So I'm quite excited about the progress we've made there. One of the comments I made was that we know of 200 business expansions in Minnesota in a difficult year. A lot of them happen, some of them might have happened anyway, but a fair number of them wouldn't have happened but for the effort of local economic developers, like some in the audience, or our staff that help connect dots across programs.
Mr. Chairman, one last question about the last three or four pages of the presentation are kind of about meetings that you've gone to, whether they're international or local or set up across the state.
Have you been invited, David?
I think I was invited to one. But anyway, the question I have isn't whether or not they're necessary or whether or not that there should be more of them. The question I have is I understand this is an outreach to communities and businesses to maybe tell them what you can do or how you can help them. Are you tracking whether or not you're getting results out of these meetings, and are you getting any input from places where you've had the meetings and showing that there are results, or are they just kind of falling on deaf ears or we're not paying attention to the results?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Tomassoni, if we start on page 16, the outreach opportunities may be conventions like the annual bioconference or the American Wind Energy Association or medical device functions. And I would call them more marketing opportunities than I would call them meetings. Page 16 talks about, I think, the trade office had 40 educational opportunities with 900 participants from 700 companies. Probably we do some in Duluth, some in St. Cloud, increasing number in St. Cloud, and some in other parts around the areas around the state. A fair number of them are done in the metro. Even people from greater Minnesota find it convenient sometimes to come to the metro area. And we do see results. Minnesota's export numbers continue to go up faster than the nation's. 2009 was not a great export year, but our reduction in exports was much smaller than the nation's. We have already had several companies report success from the recent trade mission to Argentina and Chile. Yes, we get results from the trade office, and we hear back from companies frequently about those successes. We can track some of those through their economic development reports. Some of them have to be anecdotal. Many of them don't need our help after we get them connected to export finance or export licensing, or they learn some of the ropes of doing international export. The regional initiatives on page 18, I think some of the proof that it works are the number of local partners who continue to participate. As I indicated, we have 13 of the first projects, Framework for Integrating Regional Strategies, and we continue to have those colleges and local communities and county economic developers both get projects done, some of them in areas all over the state, and come back to participate in future projects. Some of it, very honestly, is the desire to apply for grants, and I don't think that's a bad thing. The grants all have performance results, many of them in recent years around job training. And the fact that we continue to be very successful means that we do get some results, Senator, and I'm proud of those. But with that, I think the maps are probably principally self-explanatory. The large map shows the cluster and industry studies that we have done. The color coding shows where many of the Framework for Integrating Regional Strategies groups are located. The hatched areas that go into Wisconsin and Iowa are our regional innovation grant partners, or RIGs, that are done with the surrounding states, and that we have, in many cases, more in common with our neighbors than we have different from them, and so we are pleased to work with our neighbors. But with that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to stand for any questions you may have left.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Commissioner McElroy. for your presentation. And, I especially enjoyed, seeing some of these numbers, some of the production of the agency. You and I saw each other recently at the Metro Strait graduation. I was there. What I didn't tell you was I was there to witness the graduation of someone very close to me who was the beneficiary of a displaced worker resources and someone, I guess I'm advancing in age, someone my age, who's going to have to do a significant career change, and that was great. And I get your regular memos about SBA loans that land in my district, and I appreciate that. And it was nice to hear about some of the teams that are deployed to the circumstances that Senator Salzman, or I think Senator Rosen, described. Businesses that are poking their heads up and looking around. And the regional collaboratives, the framework for integrated regional strategies that some of the initiative funds and others are leading are great. And I'm really excited about this Brookings Institution effort, pulling you guys in with the Regional Council of Mayors and some of the others to, for the first time, take a look at the metropolitan area regionally as an economy, and figure out what our aspirations and goals are. And I really hope that results in something that I think is it feels like there's yet still something crying out that's missing. The fact is that over the recent years, Minnesota has fallen in some of the significant rankings. It's been a tough economy, to be sure, and it's been tough everywhere. But we're accustomed in Minnesota to kind of not suffering as greatly during the rough patches and doing far better than everyone else when things are going really well. But some of the key indicators, growth in personal income has fallen behind the national average. That's not a Minnesota tradition. That's very surprising. Gross domestic product has fallen. We've fallen out of the top 10. That's also very surprising and upsetting. The fact that fewer people are working as a whole number than they were as recently as a few years ago. So it feels to me like everything that you articulated, but and then some. Where is the table in which we align? And we talked about some of the MNSCU workforce development, co-location, and some of that communication. But where do we align Senator Salzman working valiantly on research and innovation turning into startup businesses that turn into the jobs? That was kind of the Minnesota way. Where does that get aligned with the emerging economic opportunities, with the workforce development, with our transportation infrastructure that we need, with our quality of life investments that we need for clean environment and great health care? Something missing. We've slipped, despite all of this that you've reported on, that's so out of step with what we've known Minnesota to be for so long.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Dibble, first of all, to go back to your opening, the letters I often send to you and other metro legislators, urban legislators, are about our urban initiatives revolving loan fund for very small businesses, and they're done with people like the African Economic Development Company, MEDA, Coalition, or the Association of Metro Economic Developers. And they are loans from $5,000 to $100,000, and they have been great micro-lending catalysts in urban neighborhoods, and I had forgotten to mention them earlier in the presentation. In terms of how do we put the pieces together, some of that,
you've got a good question.
I share some of those concerns. The last numbers I saw for 2009, we were 10th in personal income. The Science and Technology Strategy Group brought together a wide variety of rankings, and we tend to rank higher than almost anyone else in mid-America, but lower than the coast, and that is a concern. And I don't have a magic solution as to how we go about changing that. I think it's to continue to pay attention to having as many of the component parts of a strategy work well and then work together to be more strategic. The one thing I would raise, I am concerned that the metropolitan area as a group, as an area, does not have an overarching economic development entity as Greater Rochester does, or the Greater Mankato, or even the Northeastern Minnesota region. And some other metropolitan areas have been able to do that. There was a discussion early on in the 70s and early 80s that perhaps the Metropolitan Council could play that role. They don't choose to do that or don't see that as their role. And I hope as a result of the discussion you mentioned with the Brookings Institution, the Humphrey Institute, our agency, and the Itasca Project, we might make some decisions about a metro strategy. Now, that won't be as simple as it sounds. What do we define as the metro area? What connections do we make to education as part of that strategy? But it is something I look at things like Greater Kansas City or Greater Denver, and I think there are some opportunities there for us to learn from them and to do it even better.
Okay. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner, I need to ask you a question that came up from one of my constituents a while ago. He's an attorney, and he needed to hire someone within his home. This is a home employee. So employee is an employee, no matter whether they're working for a business or for a nonprofit or for a household. And he said that he was very frustrated that he couldn't find any information on how to set up an employee. Now, is that something that you either have or are going to put together? Now, I'm really enthused by this new website you have, because I've been on some of it, but some of it is brand new to me.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, yes, our Small Business Assistance Center, and I don't have the phone number. Paul, do you have it? We will get it to you. We have an 800 number and a local number of a group of people that are well prepared to answer that question. How do I hire my first employee? We also have a book on the website, How to Start a Business in Minnesota, that we update every year and would also have the answer, but we'll get you the phone number.
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner, maybe I didn't listen to you, but it seems like there's a disconnect, though, between what you've presented us here and the statistics that Senator Dibble gave to you about Minnesota falling off the radar screen from where we used to be. And what's your explanation for that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Tomasoni, I don't agree that we've, quote, fallen off the radar screen.
All right, that's a little far, but okay, we're way down from where we used to be.
I'm not sure I agree with that either. I don't have a copy of the Science and Tech report, but it shows where we rank. For example, the Kauffman Foundation does a survey of states, and I think we are 14th out of the 50 states. None of the states around us are anywhere near that. We were 11th in 2002 or 3. Some of the changes are changes due to the recessionary times. Others are due to a couple of them have to do with technology employment as a percentage of total employment. Milken Foundation does one that compares cities, metropolitan areas, and they rank the Twin Cities, and I don't remember, 15th or 16th, I think. The next closest is Chicago is behind us. Kenosha, Racine, Wisconsin is 49th. St. Louis is 33rd. The 1 through 20 are in mostly in California and Massachusetts. We certainly want to do better. And certainly I am particularly concerned. The two indicators that Senator Dibble raised, and that's growth in median household income and the employment statistics around new good-paying jobs are things we work hard at. We're now at a point where our unemployment rate is 2.6% below the national average, and that's the best it's been since 1994. We got hit hard in 2007 and 2008. Because of the number of employees and employers that we have in clusters around housing particularly. We lost about 26,000 jobs just in single-family residential construction. We have a big industry in building components in things like windows and doors and kitchen cabinets and paint. We have a big primary building material industry, in oriented strand board and dimensional lumber. We had a large mortgage finance industry. Those got hit harder disproportionately in this recession than we've been hit in other recessions. And in some surrounding states, our diverse industry mix was hit a little harder earlier in this recession than it has been in other economic downturns. I think we're starting to come back.
any further? Okay, we're going to thank you very much, Commissioner. We're going to continue on here looking at what this committee and the state can do to somehow create more jobs. We're going to see how we can improve government services, and we're going to call in soon the business and industry groups to see what discussion we can have with them and if they have any ideas and thoughts. We've tried to do that before. They haven't come in, but we'll get them in now. Right?
Mr. Chairman, we would be happy to help with groups like the Economic Development Association of Minnesota, the Minnesota Workforce Council Association, and a variety of others. And I'd urge you to include, we've been reaching out to the organized labor community who has a great interest in economic development. We had a representative on the Science and Technology Economic Development Committee from the Electricians Union. We have had people from other unions working with us, and we look forward to their advice as to how we do our work even better.
Senator Salzman.
Yeah, just one last thought, Mr. Chair. I know that we've looked at our neighboring states quite a bit in developing the language for our angel investment credit bill because we want to have a seamless program. I know there are economists who would say that we shouldn't be competing state to state with dollars, but is there anything that has been developed that compares our economic development programs with our neighboring states? Is that something that you might be able to share with us? Because, again, we keep hearing Iowa is doing all these great things, and some of them are not taxes. There are other incentives or other programs. Do you have some of that, or would it be very difficult to provide us with that so that we're more aware of what our competition is doing? And, again, you know, Wisconsin is not the greatest threat. It's the rest of the world. But at least to have a sense of what's happening in other states or how we might reallocate our funds to sort of, again, match theirs.
Senator, we did a comparison recently for the Science and Technology Committee, and we'll make a copy of that available to you. Interestingly enough, they often turn to Minnesota and say, how is Minnesota so successful? Yeah. We had 200 expansions in 2009 in a difficult economy, and some of them were ones where we were the victor in national competitions.
Mm-hmm. Well, just I see Senator's right. I mean, if there are tools that we're not using that other neighboring states are using,
Senator, we have
the angel stuff and
we have a spreadsheet. We'll make it available to you in the next day or two.
You know, Mr. Chair.
Senator Tomasoni.
So we hear a real lot about Minnesota being a bad business state, but you know, we have an incredible university system between Minsk and University of Minnesota. We have a very well-educated workforce. We have, I think it's 17 Fortune 500 companies in the metropolitan area, which is the largest number of Fortune 500 companies in a metropolitan area of that size in the country. And when we hear about, like, your constituent that went to Wisconsin, it sounds like the world's falling apart. But the one thing we don't hear a real lot about is the 200 new jobs that were, or companies that were created, or the companies that come into Minnesota from other places. And I think maybe that's one of the things we need to hear more about is how successful Minnesota is at promoting business as opposed to the one or two that we lose and then we think that the world's falling apart. So.
We don't like to lose any, Senator.
We don't like to lose. Yeah, I think you're right. That the positive note is always good, but if we could improve
we'll make that
more tools in our toolbox, so be it.
We'll make that comparison available. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think that's been pretty informative. I do share Senator Gerlach's opinion about you sitting there. For an hour and a half.
And minions?
And your minions.
I regard them as my team, and they would have been here. They would have. I will now find out if I made any mistakes.
Well, they did a wonderful job today. I was just
all right.
No mistakes, no nothing. That's good.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again. This is very informative, and it's kind of a start for this committee. Thank you. Meeting's adjourned.